Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 56 of Footmarks Podcast. I'm your host, Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Gimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And the title for today's Footmarks Podcast is Big Apple Minefield, because we're going to be talking about that New York surface in the T20 World Cup and the playing conditions at large. And before we actually get to that New York pitch, Jared, I want to take you back to one of your favorite cricket stories ever. I think you've told this story to me like five times now. And it's back from the 1992 World Cup in Australia when chicken farmer Ed O'Brien inspired Zimbabwe to a win over England by bowling them out cheaply. And that surface was in rural Australia, which was ridiculously terrible, right? And it was unfit for international cricket. It ultimately got Zimbabwe or helped Zimbabwe get test status. But that's a different story. The reason why Albury hosted that game was because they wanted at that time, the people who were running the show, to take the game to regional cities in Australia. You know, that makes sense. The scenario in New York, though, is vastly different because cricket is now a multi-billion dollar in enterprise 32 years later. So, I mean, not the same thing.
No, and, you know, in both cases, you are trying to do the right thing. You're trying to grow the game and you're, there are more cricket fans kind of in the New York area than there are in most parts of America. Yeah. Albury was a little bit different and it was a small game, but it was also a one-off. It was a bad pitch. England still made the World Cup final. It wasn't the end of the world. This has been far worse than that. And we shouldn't have a situation where Rohit Sharma or Virat Kohli or Henrik Claassen or whoever it may be, Imad Wazim, Mohammad Rizwan, breaks a finger because they are pulled on a surface that is not safe for cricket. If they break a finger because Henrik Nokia is just really, really fast, fine. But if they break a finger because a ball bounces up at an odd height, Nicholas Curtin, the Canadian batter, had a ball the other day, looked like it was going to take his freaking head off. And there's nothing he can do to play that because the pitch is unsafe. There's a lot of people that don't get it because in their mind, they're just like, oh, it's a bowler-friendly. It's not about being a bowler-friendly wicket. Nope. Barbados is bowler-friendly at the moment. Guyana is bowler-friendly. We're happy with those wickets because no one is looking like getting their fingers broken.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, as you mentioned, one of the main traits of this New York track is that, by the way, it is a drop-in pitch, which came from Adelaide, and we're going to get into all that fun stuff later. There's an entire timeline. But it was a ground which was built from scratch. And the bounce is dangerously uneven. Not just regularly uneven. We see uneven bounce every now and then. Sometimes on some surfaces, the ball tends to stay low. On some surfaces, it tends to rise. Over here, if the ball is being pitched in the exact same region, one of those deliveries will stay low and one of them will jump up considerably, which is why it is definitely a dangerous pitch. And the ICC labeled it as a beautiful monster. Then later on, when they kind of owned up, to it being bad, they said it was inconsistent, but not dangerous. They've got a lot of nerves saying that, Jared.
Yeah, I don't think they would want to face any balls out on that wicket, if we're being honest. No, it's definitely dangerous. I mean, there are times during this tournament. So what are we? I think we're about, when we record this, we're about six games in. Maybe all the games will be played by the time you actually all get to listen to this. But when we record this, we're about six games in. There have been games that if it was a franchise league, would have been abandoned, right? Certainly the Sri Lankan South African pitch, that was probably when it was at its worst, I think. But there are other times when the ball just wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. And it was dangerous. And, the ball was spitting up and doing all sorts of weird things. You can't say this isn't dangerous. I don't think I've ever seen so many people get hit on a T20 wicket before. Like even fast wickets, right? And this isn't particularly fast, but even fast wickets, you don't usually hit batters as much as get hit on this. And that's the main issue that we have. If this was another country that had put this wicket in, the ICC would have already said that this was an unfit wicket, right? Yeah. And they haven't because it's theirs.
Absolutely. And I mean, you remember that surface in that test match where India played South Africa and South Africa won. And that was considered to be an unsafe surface. I think it was unsatisfactory, actually.
Yep.
Well, if you play a test match on this track, I guarantee you it won't continue for long, right? And Jared, these aren't just some random games. it's a T20 World Cup we're talking about over here. And we have that underlying narrative of helping, you know, to grow the game in the United States of America. That underlying narrative is there. How much worse does that added layer make this New York surface look?
I mean, if you're a casual fan, you have, and you've been at any of these games, they've almost all been close.
Yeah.
So I suppose you could say, well, they've been quite tense and things are happening. But generally, casual fans want scoring. And it hasn't been very good scoring. And also, you haven't had good stroke play. Hmm. Right? And I think, so that has caused the problem. It's not how they dreamed this New York wicket would be, right? They dreamed it would be much more like the Dallas wicket is what they wanted. They wanted lots of runs. They wanted it to be exciting. Yeah. It's not been a lot of runs. It's been exciting, but for not on purpose, although they still got that. And, you know, for until they cut the grass at the end, and now every time the ball goes in the outfield, you can just see sand getting kicked up because there's clearly no grass left on the surface, right?
Even when the ball bounces in front of the keeper, right? There is tons of sand that just kind of goes poof.
So the grass was obviously, that's why they kept the grass longer. So at least we started to have some boundaries. A few people have said to me, oh, it's a better wicket now. Teams are scoring 115, 120. And I was like, yeah, they cut the grass. That's all they've done. They haven't changed the pitches. The pitches are still terrible. They've just cut the grass. Yeah. But yeah, so it's not what they would have wanted. Hmm. And they're being disingenuous when they say that it's not dangerous, because I do believe it was dangerous at times. I think there should have been legitimate meetings about whether they should have gone on there. Hmm. I think if I was some of those teams, I would have been making a serious complaint. I think they've got away with it because no one has got injured. So Rohit Sharma went off with being hit in the shoulder. Harry Tector got hit in the head and the hand.
Yes.
Rizwan got hit in both hands. Mm-hmm. I think Rishabh Pant got hit a couple of times.
Yep.
There's a couple of other players that have got hit. They've just got away with it, right? Because no player has been hit. And, you know, I talked about the Nicholas Curtin ball before. You know, there's been a couple of balls like that where the player has clearly lost the ball.
Yeah.
And that is because they are expecting the ball between their knee and their waist, and suddenly it's around their chest or higher, and you cannot play that at 80, 85, 90, 95 miles an hour. It's just, it's impossible to play that. And you can see from the Harry Tector ball, it just went vertical. You should not be playing international cricket on a wicket that goes vertical.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, a lot of people to me have also said that, oh, this is refreshing. We want bowler-friendly surfaces. Guyana, Barbados, all the other sluggish tracks are bowler-friendly surfaces. This is flat-out dangerous. Sure, we've got some stupidly entertaining thrillers, right? Like you said, that only one game has been more or less one-sided, which was India versus Ireland. Everything else has been tight. But, you know, that unsafe element of it cannot be, you know, overlooked.
That's the important thing, right? Yeah. Because there's no reason for these players to be playing on a pitch that isn't even.
Yeah,
right? And that doesn't mean it can't be bowler dependent or batting dependent. It doesn't mean it can't spin sideways or seam a lot. It doesn't mean it shouldn't be slow or fast. Those are all cricket elements. What we are talking about here is, and you look at the graphic from the India-Ireland game, when there are two balls, there are five balls that land all within about 40 centimeters of each other, and two of them go knee height and below, and two of them go above shoulder height, and the other ones, I think, about chest height.
Yeah.
That no one can play on a pitch like that. And it, because it's been entertaining, there's an element of, oh, it's okay. That's not what we're talking about, because it's been accidentally entertaining, right? Yeah. What we're really talking about here is the fact that this is their big showpiece. They spent all of this money on it. They had 3 years to get it ready. They fucked around, they waited to the last minute, and they have an unfit pitch for 8 World Cup games. And that is completely on the ICC. They made this mistake. You go back and you read the article by Nagraj on the Cricket Monthly, and they knew it was a challenge. They knew they were pushing it up. They now have to be really honest and say, it failed. It was not a successful cricket wicket. It was not a successful cricket outfield. Yes, the cricket was entertaining, but we made a mistake and we're going to learn from this in case we ever have to do this again.
Yeah. I mean, their words were inconsistent, but not dangerous. Well, if Rohit Sharma had broken a bone when he retired hurt, or Rizwan had broken a finger because he copped like 3 different deliveries over there. Harry Tector's blow was also really, really bad. Rishabh Pant, you know, I think it hit his elbow. So there's so many instances where you could have had an injured player potentially, and then all hell breaks loose. Jared, if this was the Big Bash League, and I say the Big Bash League specifically because recently there was that surface in Geelong, right, in which they abandoned that game. Do you think that surface would have been worse than this?
I think if this was a Big Bash, they probably would have walked off on that first game.
Hmm. Yeah, and they walked off on that game as well. That game was abandoned.
Yeah, so I do think that's the case. I don't know if there was... that's one thing I haven't heard from any of the teams.
Yeah.
But I think if you're South Africa, you must have thought to yourself, oh my God, we have to play on this three times. Let's hope we all get out of this fit and healthy. Look, it's just not acceptable. There's no other way of putting it. You can't talk crap about it. You could, this whole thing about it being inconsistent. Yeah, inconsistent is what we mean. It shouldn't be inconsistent. A wicket should not be inconsistent when it's made for a T20 game. It should bounce evenly. That doesn't mean that the ball won't hold up occasionally or skid through. We understand that cricket wickets work like that. That is not what is happening here.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And I mean, one of those guys from the ICC should square up against Nokia or Haris Rao for one of the express quicks and they'll know how hard it is. It's absolutely terrifying. I would not want to face those guys not knowing where the ball will end up once it bounces, right?
Not to mention that Dasan Shanaka, who bowls at your pace, couldn't be hit on that wicket, right?
Dasan Shanaka versus South Africa gave away 6 runs in 3 overs and took a wicket. I think he should have had 2 when there was a dropped catch or something. This is a man who goes at an economy of 9 per over in T20s. He went 2 per over in this game. And, you know, amongst all of these other grounds, you know, in this competition, like surfaces like Guyana, which is super sluggish, you take all of the 4 grounds that we've had cricket on thus far, right up until this, or 5 grounds right up until this podcast was recorded, because Antigua also had a game now, right? And New York has the lowest bowling average and the lowest economy rate. That combo is lowest and lowest. On the scatter plot graph, it is down in that corner where X meets Y, right? in the axes. And I mean, even if you look at the balls per boundary rate, it's insane. What did we deserve to get this, Jared? Us spectators, analysts, critics, all of us, we did not deserve this, right?
And if this was a normal tournament, you'd be like, that's pretty bad. But to be lower and slower than Guyana.
Now right? That's something.
Like Guyana is famous for that. And
yes.
And this is why I haven't heard many people complain about Guyana. I could be wrong.
It's not unsafe, right?
But certainly the people who are complaining about New York are not complaining about Guyana, right? Uh-huh. And that's the important thing here. People knew what the Guyana wicket was. It's been rolled for years. It's been what it is for years. It's, you know, very similar to like a UAE wicket. It's maybe a little bit stickier at times than a UAE wicket. But we know what we're getting. It's a safe international wicket. So no one's making any runs there, but no one ever makes any runs there, right?
Yeah.
Then we come outside of that and we have a look at it and we're like, it's just, if you're worse than that wicket, then you have done something horribly, horribly wrong. Especially considering there's a bit of pace in the New York wicket. So there was a ball, it must have been in the Bangladesh-Sri Lanka game. Sorry, no, that wasn't out there, ground. Bangladesh-South Africa game. There was like a leg by that I just think on any other ground in the world, it would have gone for 4. And it just stops like, it's like they've created a ground for anti-scoring, right? Which again, we're not actually having a go at that. We're just finding that bit funny.
No, but I mean, Jared, if we have a go at surfaces where 280 and 300 is on in a T20 game, then you should have a go at surfaces. Forget the unsafe part. If your average score is 100, that's the problem.
You right? like this. There was a comment on the video where we put it up from this guy going, no one had a go at the high scoring games in the IPL. I was like, what planet were you on?
Every time
it happened, I was told that was the end of life. It is a fascinating thing to go from the IPL extreme to this. Although, of course, if you are following my work, you know I predicted all this was going to happen. Not the New York part. I'd have no idea what was going to happen in New York. I think I was just hoping for a good wicket. So I missed out there. But we knew that the West Indies was going to be low scoring. Yeah. Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are analysing every part of our game. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts, and articles on what is really happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket8.com is your place for cricket intelligence.
You guys can go check out, I don't remember what episode it was, but it was a Footmarks episode called Cloudy with a Chance of Sixes, something like that, at the T20 World Cup. And we both agreed that you're going to get, you know, sluggish surfaces in the West Indies and run scoring won't be as easy. But we also kind of predicted that USA would be higher scoring because we knew what Dallas and Florida had to offer, right? Yeah. Fort Lauderdale. No one in their right minds could have predicted that New York is going to be this sort of playing conditions. And I mean, like, 115 is a winning total. That is not good for the game. That is not refreshing. I'm sorry. Even if you take the unsafe element out of it, and we can't. We cannot take the unsafe element out of this, right? Anyway, forget the surface. Let's also talk about New York's outfield, right? I mean, it is desperate for a lawnmower. It's good that they've cut the grass already. My backyard has a faster outfield. And it is almost as bad as the surface, but not quite. And you barely ever get to watch batters score fours over here, right? I've seen aerial balls, which are generally one bounce fours, stop. They just stop into that field. So you, as a batter, either have to go aerial and get six or get out. And more often than not, they've gotten out. I mean, only Rohit Sharma has been able to connect on the pull slash hook on this surface. Only Rishabh Pant has a control percentage higher than 50%, I believe, on the surface. No, and
I don't think he has a really low control percentage. I think David Miller is the one with the higher control percentage on this.
There he is. Yeah. David Miller has an extremely high. I mean, he's defying all odds playing the sort of cricket he's playing at New York. But the amount of batters I've seen who have tried to pull or play the ball square and balloon it up and get out has, I mean, I can't even count them on my fingers. And I'm talking about every single game.
I do think the first game, the first three or four games, certainly, players were getting out more often because they realized they couldn't hit fours. So you hit the ball through the field and it just doesn't go anywhere. And that has stopped a little bit. Although we did do a fun thing on Cricket 8 where we bet on the first ball to be a two. And in the India-Pakistan game, and Rohit Sharma hit a two. So I think we got that at 20-1 or something. So everyone was quite excited at that stage. But you look at the way that players were playing. So I do think that actually played a part, the outfield. There's no doubt in the India-Pakistan game that they had cut the grass and that the ball was zipping through a little bit more. And we saw the same with Bangladesh-South Africa game. Was another game where we did that. But that has just brought about, as we were talking about before, it's quite clear that it's just sand. That it's green sand that we are seeing out there. And there are still parts of the ground where the ball just seems to hit and just stop. There's one straight boundary where the ball seems to run and one straight boundary where it doesn't. So you get a little bit of pad on one ball and the short fine leg can just walk over and pick it up. Even though it's gone past them, and usually that's an automatic four. And then at the other end, it goes for four. So there's inconsistencies within that. It's a ground that didn't have great irrigation or drainage beforehand. It was a car park that have tried to make it into a better surface. Clearly, I don't know, I've been so focused on the pitch, I don't really know why the ground is as bad as it is, but it's clearly, again, not an international surface that we should be playing on. Look, we had Darren Mashala surface was one recently. We've seen surfaces in, you know, South Africa and Australia and England and Sri Lanka and other places that have been poor at times. Sometimes it's weather related and everything else. But they chose this. They chose to try and put a ground there and they have to, you know, suffer the consequences. Again, I don't think it's dangerous outfield. I haven't heard players you would really complain if that was the case, and they've certainly been moaning about the pitch, so I know that they definitely think that's dangerous, but I don't think the outfield, they consider it dangerous, but they don't consider it an international stadium.
Yeah, you've often mentioned Jared whenever we discuss USA and cricket in the same sentence, that whenever someone tries to touch the potential commercial cash cow or whatever that is cricket in the USA, they've gotten burned, right? The CPL even tried to involve Florida once upon a time, but they didn't really get the crowds they were expecting because they thought the diaspora people would show up. And the surfaces weren't great either, but the surfaces weren't unsafe, right? The MLC properly launched in the USA last year. And as a direct consequence of that, the Grand Prairie ground in Dallas, you know, got amped up. And that was formerly a baseball ground called Air Hogs. No relation to pigs flying, unfortunately. And what this tells us is that if you carry out operations properly, and wherever you have some sort of a cricket ecosystem, like you actually do in Texas and Florida, you don't end up with a New York-esque sort of, you know, situation where the player conditions are flat out unsafe, dangerous, and unfit for international cricket.
Yeah, it's possible to do it properly. I'd have to go back. I don't remember the GT20 being considerably bad pitches. Mm-hmm. Dangerous pitches. I don't remember them being great cricket wickets, but I don't remember them being, dangerous. We see a lot of pop-up tournaments in weird parts of the world now. It is possible to do. So to do this in such an important time it's a hell of an error. And obviously a lot of different things have gone wrong.
Yeah. I mean, let's also talk about the other MLC in the USA, right? Minor league cricket. And that league basically gave us the Morrisville ground in Texas. Of course, Texas probably.
No, Morrisville is in, it's like in North Carolina, is it? It's near Duke and all the different universities that play basketball that I forgot the name of.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
It's sort of in the middle of nowhere. Hmm.
But it's got a decent track. It's conducive to good cricket, but yep. It's in the middle of bumfuck North Carolina or wherever Jared said it was, right? So that was probably the issue for the ICC, that they didn't expect a lot of fans to turn up. And
I don't think they could have hosted it there. I don't blame them for not using that ground.
Yeah, but they wanted a major city in the United States to have a proper cricket ground where they could host the T20 World Cup. Los Angeles and New York were contenders. For some reason, Los Angeles didn't work and they went for New York. Oh, time zone. That is true.
I think that was the biggest issue. They did look to get a ground there from what I understand, but it didn't quite work.
Yeah. They chose New York, and it's not like New York hasn't had its run-ins with cricket, right? We recently did a podcast on the history of cricket in the USA, and they used to play cricket in Manhattan back in the 18th and 19th centuries, which is quite amazing. But there was no existing infrastructure in New York, and the Eisenhower Stadium or Park, whatever it's called, was built from scratch within 5 months. Now, considering the ICC had 3 years to prepare for this, how did they manage to fuck it up so gloriously?
Well, I think they pissed about a long time and they weren't really sure what to do. And I think they just got caught. There was another ground that they were going to do, which eventually I think the local players said that they didn't want to go forward with. But to be honest, I think the ICC had already taken too long. I think if they were going to do this effectively, they probably needed to be in the ground a year and a half to 2 years out. Mm. And they weren't. And they weren't even close to, being in there. And then they were left with this sort of random bit of land, which obviously isn't in New York proper.
It's Long Island. That is not New York.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a distance away. I would have assumed that part of the reason that this was delayed so long, and I completely conjecture from my part, is that they were holding out for something in on Manhattan or closer to Manhattan would be my guess. Could be wrong, but just feels like that. Yeah. And then they finally were given this land. They knew it wasn't ideal, and that's when they go into action. They contact the Adelaide company who works with Adelaide Oval about bringing pitch boxes over, drop in wickets, which is I'm not an expert in this, but from what I understand, they kind of get the pitch box ready and then you match it with the clay from the local area, because it's very hard to drop in clay from other places. Although Dubai does it, and I have seen it in other countries, but I think they might've got American clay or clay that was of American content, but I'm not 100% sure how they do that, but they already had the pitch box ready. So that was shipped over from Adelaide. That ends up not going to New York though, of course. That goes to Florida instead, because New York is too cold, which again tells you what the issue is here, right? The alarm bell should be going off. If you're trying to get a pitch ready and you can't even put it in the ground, it should have been there 6 months earlier. It should have had a whole New York summer to be able to be bedded in and then be growing. So they have to get it to Florida. So from what we can tell, parts of this pitch I've come over from Adelaide. Parts of this pitch maybe are from clay I think it's in Florida they got the clay, but I have to go back and check Nagarjuna's piece. Then they put that all together, and then that is then shipped up to New York as New York starts to thaw out. And of course, that isn't that long ago. And so it doesn't have time to get ready. I mean, that's essentially what we are talking about. And if you go back through I don't think they, you might have the time list in front of me. I don't think I have it in front of me, but they make the decision. Here it is. I might be able to find it myself here. They make the decision really, really late when it comes to the timetable and everything else. Oh no, I don't have it in front of me. That's stupid. But that, they make the decision in, let's say, September, I want to say.
It is September. I have the timeline. I can tell you.
Oh, you tell me the timeline. I can't remember the full dates off the top of my head.
So they make the decision in September 2023, which is 2 years or two plus years after they know that they're going to get to host the, you know, T20 World Cup in the USA. And they have identified
the decision for that ground is what you mean.
Yes, yep. For that particular ground. They've already made the New York decision. LA is out of the picture. New York decision has been made. That ground is finalized in September. And of course, you know, you see drop-in pitches all the time in countries like Australia and New Zealand. And UAE. They might have had, UAE, they might have had a bit of a bad reputation, but it's very, very common in this day and age. So it's not a science that is, you know, still being learned. A lot of people know a lot of stuff about it. And Australia is a country where you see drop-in pitches all the time. Adelaide is a place, or the Adelaide Oval, where the drop-in pitch works quite well. It's one of the better tracks, you know, globally. And they obviously contacted those curators. They made multiple strips for them. Right? That's what happened.
It has to be training strips, and you need multiple ones for the center wicket.
They then send those multiple strips to Florida because they cannot install them in New York during the winter, which is where they fucked up, because had they decided this earlier,
so September,
surfaces could have been...
But September is when they decide on that ground.
Yes.
They activate the pitches almost straight away, and they start the pitches. But they don't actually start working on the stadium until January. Yes. Uh-huh. And they don't actually start working on the ground until February. Mm-hmm. And then the pitches turn up in, I want to say April? Does that sound
April.
Right?
It is April. I mean, watch time-lapse videos of this entire ground being built. That's how quickly it was built, right? And I mean, sure, it looks pretty, but the pitch
is lovely looking stadium.
The outfield is terrible. Maybe in the future you can fix this stuff, but you're playing on sand. And I mean, you've got a pitch created in Adelaide, which you have basically grown and farmed in Florida with that clay. And then you're installing that same pitch, which is grown in Florida, in New York in April. What sort of surrogate degeneracy is this, right?
It just reeks of last-minuteness, right? Like, there's no way of looking at that timeline that was given you and be like, well, there was always a chance this was going to go wrong. Right.
Also, Jared, England has cold weather, right? Pitches grow fine over there and they're curated. So I'm not sure how bad the New York winter is compared to England.
Well, certainly the north of England, right? Mm. They don't have it, you know, they grow pitches up there. I think the problem is, though, if you have a pitch from Durham or Scotland, right? Which I'm assuming gets as cold as New York. I have no idea, but coldish anyway. Mm. I mean, cold as hell, if we're being honest. But yeah. They also get 6 months of summer, right? And I wonder if that is part of the problem. It needs to bed in a little bit different. And I don't know. I can't tell you why this wicket
is also, 100%. Why did they not contact the people in Toronto? There used to be international games in Toronto, the Sahara Cup between India and Pakistan. You have the GT20. There is a cricket infrastructure and ecosystem in that city. You could have asked them, because I would guarantee you Toronto's winter is worse than New York's, right?
It's another
Maybe those were the
point.
Guys
yeah.
to go and talk to.
But when it comes down to it, everything we're saying is probably right. But the truth is that they should have started this process a year and a half earlier than they did, minimum. Hmm. Right? A minimum a year and a half early. And you could even go back to the fact that maybe we shouldn't be awarding World Cups 3 years before. Yeah. How long do you find out with Olympics? Is it like 9, 10, 11 years? It's a long
Something
time with
like
Olympics,
that.
Isn't it?
Even the FIFA World Cup is allotted like at least, I think, two tournaments in advance. Yeah.
So, you know, all these sorts of things are valid questions. But either way, whether they were holding out for a better ground or whatever, they left it to the last minute. And because of that, we have a wicket that clearly is not made for international cricket. And maybe we can blame the New York winter. We could say that this drop-in didn't work, or that when they put it in, the car park facilities didn't help, or the clay didn't gel or whatever. But that's because you did it at the last minute and you didn't give yourselves any other options. This is the only option that they had.
Jared, that surface is not even fit for paddleball. Forget cricket, right? I would not want to play paddleball on that surface. But I feel like we need to touch on this last bit a bit more, right? This ground was formerly an occasional car park. We know for a fact that the drainage is really, really poor. And of course,
that explains the sand, by the way.
Yes.
If you wanted to know why there's so much sand.
Yeah. The irrigation, you know, is not on point. And at least Dallas, that ground, the Grand Prairie Stadium, was formerly a baseball ground. Over here, the inconsistency is obvious. Former car park, no drainage, bad irrigation. And it isn't a professionally built field. You know, the Grand Prairie Stadium in Dallas, that is. Maybe New York just wasn't the best location, or Nassau County wasn't the best location. So considering all these factors, was the ICC like sleeping in September? Did they not think these things through?
Sometimes you just need to take the slips out and bowl defensively. And you also need to be careful with your computer's defense as well. If you need a VPN, go Nord. NordVPN.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. So put in some dot balls and turn them into maidens via NordVPN.com/Kimber.
I have to be a little bit careful here.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that there were voices saying this could go horribly wrong for us, and that we don't have enough time, and if we're going to do stuff, we need to do stuff now, right? I can't confirm that 100%, but I'm pretty sure, right? I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't bring it up if I wasn't, right? And if the ICC want to ring me up tomorrow and say that's not true, I'm like, okay, fair enough. Maybe I got this wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, right? And there is a last minute element to cricket. We talked about it on a previous podcast we've recorded tonight. Cricket does wait to the last minute too often. Hopefully this has got it in their mind that if they're going to have something like this again, day one, okay, what city are we going to go to? Why are we going to go to this city? Okay, how do we make this work? What money do we need? What infrastructure? Who do we need to partner with? Let's start now. Let's make sure that there's a bunch of cricket played in here and we can get some fast bowlers in and, you know, and make sure that the fast bowlers are handy on this wicket and everything else. If it was going to be the centerpiece, make it the centerpiece. Don't fucking just tack it on at the end and then hope everything's going to be okay. Because that's just, it's a ludicrous way of doing things. And
absolutely.
And there are, I would say there would be, and this bit I am speculating on, there would have been multiple people in the ICC that would have pointed this out. How we ended up here, I don't know. And I do think a big part of it was that they missed out on probably the first surface that they wanted in New York. But I think they went for that surface too late, right? And
yeah, I mean, this World Cup was awarded to the USA in 2021. We are in 2024. They could have made this decision in 2022. And if it was going to be New York, you could have installed the surface in the summer of 2023 and it could have like properly cooked for one whole year, right?
And you could have, knowing that Major League Cricket was going to be played and Minor League Cricket was going to be played, you could have actually got a bunch of cricketers through. You could have had some sort of ICC tournaments there. You could have, you know, what they do in the Dubai sometimes when they have like academy teams and, you know, they could have got a bunch of fast bowlers out and a bunch of good spinners out to see what had happened, all that sort of stuff. And also would have given the poor curator from Adelaide, who will probably be forever linked to this shithole of a wicket, it would have given him more time. We know he can do amazing things with wickets. Because as you said before, and, you know, there's things in Nagraj's article. And also, it is worth pointing out that that article is a fucking car crash now. When you look back at the amount of red flags that were right there in that article. And, you know, when you and I talked, I said to you I didn't know what that wicket was going to be like. I had suspicions that it might be too paced, right? And that the cricket might be a little bit ugly there, right? Just little whispers that people had told me of, don't know about this wicket. But no one was like, oh, it's going to be up and down or it's going to be unsafe or anything. But just a few people were like, it's not going to be fun cricket to watch, right?
Yeah.
Which they were wrong. It's been fun, not for the right reasons, but it has been fun.
It hasn't been fun for the cricketers. And that piece,
for the batters.
that piece by Nagraj is, I suppose it's aged like milk. But for the people who gave all those statements, not for Nagraj, good for him.
He did very well to get to the bottom of it. We've learned more. They were so happy to talk about this because they obviously thought they'd got it right and they haven't, and it's crashed on them. So it's there's red flags all the way through. And if you know Nagraj's Cricket Monthly piece about the New York pitch, I think if you just Google that, you'll come up with it. But it really is illuminating of they kind of are talking in a way of, oh, we've gotten away with it at times, and they did not.
Yeah. I mean, you took 2 years too long to decide on a makeshift ground. And then even then, you started to think that, okay, where do we want to go for the surface? And you said, okay, Adelaide, those are the guys. So we'll get them to prepare multiple strips and grow them in Florida because we can't take those pitches to New York right now. You install them in April. And in June, we get a monster of a track in the Big Apple, which has that dangerously uneven bounce. The outfield is shit. The ball does not travel because there's been no good irrigation and the drainage is bad. And I just want to ask you, Jared, is this the worst professional pitch that you have ever seen in your life?
Considering the amount of money and the events, yes. I think it's, you know, we've seen obviously, you know, pitches like the, you know, surface in the West Indies that was cancelled. And remember they played on a pitch in the West Indies. One wicket was cancelled and then they went to another ground and there was a big strip in the middle of the other ground because it was two training wickets back to back. And so Freddie Flintoff kept hitting the middle. We've had whacker wickets fall apart, which is a part of being at the whacker. We've had unsafe wickets at times, but I don't think we've ever had as much planning and preparation and everything else and then had a wicket like this before. Like, you know, this wasn't just, oh, the weather got to us and we couldn't do the right wicket and it got a bit sticky and weird and the batters got hit more and I'm really sorry. And this wasn't South Africa won a spicy wicket, so we win a spicy wicket up. Oh shit, we've got it wrong and now it's a little bit dangerous. This was supposed to be a batting friendly wicket that sucked in American casual fans and looked good on TV. And it is none of those things. And then on top of that, as you said before, the main thing is it's dangerous, right? I think it's the biggest, most disappointing wicket, all those factors involved ever. And the hilarity is that because it's had so many close games, a few people are probably just going to give it a passing mark now and forget about it and whatever. But that's only because they've got away with this and they did not deserve to, because clearly that surface is not a World Cup surface.
It's like a loaf of bread for which Muku made the yeast. Muku is our producer. He made the yeast in Pondicherry. Then I grew that yeast or fermented it in my womb in Islamabad. And then we shipped it to Jared and he ate it. So did you expect...
Did you say you fermented it in your womb?
Yeah.
Or your room? Did you mean to say room or did you mean to say womb?
I didn't mean to say womb.
No, that's okay. I did just... It was such a sideways movement. But you're right. It is, you know... It is, and you know that American cricket is already related to Frankenstein, but it is a bit of a Frankenstein's monster, right, this wicket.
They should have had Boris Karloff or some of his descendants who are alive just come and promote the pitch.
And it's incredible looking back that they described it themselves as a beautiful monster, right?
Yeah.
So they kind of knew that it was on the edge and they thought they got away with it and they haven't. And I think for a lot of casual fans, and to be fair, most people who listen to our stuff are not casual fans, but for a lot of casual fans, they won't quite get it. And if you're only watching a couple of games, right? You know, so a lot of Indian fans didn't get it because they just watched India Ireland first time. And they kept contacting me. Why are you complaining about this? I've been watching every game. I've seen every game played at New York. I can tell you one thing absolutely for certain. No professional players should be playing a World Cup game on this wicket.
So it's really awkward for the ICC because this sort of stuff happens elsewhere. And then they're very like eager and, you know, on the button as far as dishing out a rating for that pitch is concerned. And we've got very good, good, average, below average, satisfactory, unsatisfactory and unfit. What would you say the New York pitch is? Unsatisfactory or unfit?
Unfit.
Yeah.
What about you?
Go with the same. No, definitely unfit. You can't be having cricket on this.
It can't be. I don't think it's any better than unsatisfactory, right? But I think it's an unfit surface for a World Cup. And I do think if you were playing a test match on this surface, you would get very low grades, and quite rightly, as you said before, I'd be incredible. It's actually weirdly almost a wicket more suited to test match cricket because of the scoring rates and everything else. Like, it would be a fascinating test match to watch, but my God, I would not want to be the person.
I would not want to be an umpire either.
If Anrik Norkeer could bowl more than four overs on this wicket, oh my God. Like, I don't even know what, if I was Joel Garner or Morne Morkel, I'd be like, yeah, I think I can get a couple more overs out of this one. You know, Ryan Harris is somewhere going, oh yeah, I could hit back of a length here. You know, there are a lot of bowlers around the world that like, just look at this wicket going, this is the dream. And good luck, batters.
Yeah. I mean, the ICC are always sanctioning other pitches and grounds and giving them demerit points and that sort of stuff. Well, God forbid a player gets injured. Could they then sanction the ICC or sue them and get some money out of it? Because someone's got to do something. The ICC can't sanction themselves.
I was really interested in that. And you don't want anyone to get injured. And I'm glad that so far, no one has been injured. And the wicket seems to have settled down from a pace perspective. So I think it was more early on when it was inconsistent bounce and really quick at times when it was really dangerous. Although, to be fair, some of those slower balls still were getting in the way of people. But yeah, I do think there is an element of what happens if we know that they've all gone out on an unsafe pitch. We have Hawkeye data that suggests the pitch is unsafe.
Yeah.
We have visual representations that suggest the pitch is unsafe. Mm-hmm. And we have the people who created it calling the whole thing a beautiful monster.
Yeah.
That does feel to me like there's legal grounds. Now, athletes don't sue a lot for that sort of stuff because it restricts your future earning. But I was thinking someone like Imad Wazim, who's not going to be playing for Pakistan again probably after this series, right? Gets hit on the fingers and he misses out on 3 or 4 years of earning. I could see someone like him being like, why should I be losing out on earnings because you guys were desperate to have a ground in New York and you fucked it up by doing it at the last minute? Why should I be in that situation?
Yeah.
I don't know if he has a legal case, although in America, I suppose he does. Of all the places, I would say that's the most litigious place to be set up, right?
Absolutely. And someone who unretired for this T20 World Cup, for him to lose the last few years of his career, potentially, of course, hopefully that will never happen. But I feel like...
Has he played all of his games? I'm hoping we've said someone who doesn't have another game in New York.
No, he has to play in New York.
I'd like to apologize to Imad Wazim and hopefully he doesn't have to bat in the next game.
This podcast will be out when that game has already happened. So
I put it into the universe, so I still feel not awkward.
The last game that we have seen in New York when this was being recorded was Bangladesh versus South Africa, just for everyone's reference. And a complete shit show, and the ICC should take complete responsibility for that, I feel. Just one final point or question rather, Jared. Of course, with the grand motive of attracting fans and casual fans in the USA towards cricket and propelling the sport over there, making it more popular via this T20 World Cup. With that being that whole macro narrative surrounding this mega event, how much of a deterrent do you think New York's ground and surface have been towards achieving that? Or has it not been a deterrent because you have gotten those dangerously, stupidly exciting games?
I mean, it'd be really interesting to go forward because does cricket need casual fans in America at the moment? Or does it need hardcore fans?
And Americans can get pretty hardcore and nerdy about their sport.
I kind of think it needs hardcore fans first, and then the casual fans will come later. That's not the way the cricket boards think, though. So they probably won't have agreed with that. But I think from a hardcore perspective, this is not too bad, right? The games have been close and they're interesting. And, even when a team looked like they were completely blown out, like Sri Lanka or the Netherlands, they still found ways to bring themselves back in and make it interesting at times. So I wonder from that perspective, if it hasn't, a success is the wrong way, but that it hasn't worked, right? But if they are looking for casual fans who just want another sporting experience, I don't know. It's so hard for you and I to look at it that way because we are so cricket people. I don't know what it would be like to watch this if you didn't know a lot about cricket. I don't know if you're like, wow, these games always come down to the last ball or the last over. This is really exciting. Or whether people are like, I thought it was like baseball, but with more home runs. Seems to be like baseball, but with less home runs.
This is baseball where fouls can also go for runs.
This is baseball where fouls should go for runs and are still getting stuck in the sand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
pitch the ball into the surface. That's pretty cool. I mean, if you think of it from a baseball-y perspective, right? From someone who has watched that sport. I'm not going to say he's a fan of that sport because they'll always choose baseball over cricket. But for someone who just understands baseball, they might think that, lots of more permutations. Baseball has very few events. You're either going to miss it, getting struck out, or you're going to hit a home run, or you're going to get a run. There's not much else that happens. Whereas cricket, you have such, a 360-degree range of shots and different things that could happen on every single ball, which, each ball is an event. Maybe they like that fact, or maybe they're like, this is too long. We can't deal with this. Who knows? Yeah.
I will say this. There are a lot of baseball fans who have been complaining that the ball isn't in play as much these days. It's home run or nothing. If they'd watched the IPL, they might have felt the same way as when watching cricket. But if they watched cricket in Nassau County, they might have said, well, the ball's in play every ball. No one can hit it out of this ground.
Yeah. Maybe after the T20 World Cup, you can get John Boy on the red inker and ask him, you know, what has this World Cup done for cricket in the USA? But anyway, to everyone who has been watching this podcast or listening in on it up until now, let us know in the comment section what you think of the New York pitch and what you think this, you know, World Cup or New York surface in general, what impact it's had on cricket at large in the USA. We'd love to know your thoughts as well. Just a quick reminder as well that you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. It can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as a team, whether it be written work, written content, videos, or podcasts. And that'll really make your life easier. That's all for, you know, this episode of Footmarks, and we'll be back with another episode next week. So you guys have a good one and enjoy the T20 World Cup. That's all for now. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.